Books of the Bible. Ephesians was written by Paul to the churches around Ephesus. It is about who Christians are and how they live. When we are in Christ, we are made alive, reconciled to God, and united with other believers in the church. If you are struggling in your walk with Christ, perhaps it is time to revisit what Christ has done for you and who you are in Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Perhaps this explains why so many people are so lacking assurance. This is Wretched Radio. It was but a few moments ago I was down the hall. David, who's a biblical counselor at Alpharetta Bible Church, had a book on his desk. And I know the author. It was Paul Todges. And the book was called Jimmy, when you look up Paul Todges, it's T-A-U-T-G-E-S, and it begins with re.
Okay.
Don't worry. AI knows everything. And he said it's a book about to help people deal with the issue of assurance. And I was like, ooh, intriguing. And I'm so grateful because I really like Paul Todges, and I know how many people deal with this issue. In fact, even tonight at Alpharetta Bible Church, one of our Thursday night meetings, we're going through cultural issues, the stuff that we're all wrestling with. And it doesn't have to be a cultural issue. It can even be issues like worship, the classic church fight about what worship music should look and sound like. And tonight we're going to be dealing with true and false conversions. Are you really saved? Are you genuinely a Christian? And how can you know that? Why did we put that on the list? I think we're going through 20 different subjects. Cultural and church issues. It's because this is a big issue. This is a big issue. There are too many Christians who are not experiencing the full joy of the Lord because they have a black cloud of doubt that follows them everywhere they go. And I think I know one of the reasons for it. Jimmy, what's the name of that book?
Would it be Resting? In God,
re-what?
Resting in God's salvation. You said it starts with three. No, it's, I was trying to make a joke. If you have to explain the joke, it's not fun.
You're in trouble.
Remade.
Remade.
Yeah, that's it.
That was it. Remade. I'm sure it's a good book. I haven't read it, but if David likes it, then I'm guessing it's a good book. And Paul Todges is a really excellent biblical counselor. In fact, I get his emails pretty much weekly, if I'm not mistaken, and I almost always read his articles. A pretty short treatment of a subject, and they're always Christ-centered and edifying. He identified, clearly, it's an issue. People are lacking assurance. Why? I think I have one of the reasons, if not maybe one of the biggest reasons, right in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers. I'm not going to share the name of the guy because this is not to bag on this particular fellow who is, I guess you'd call him a celebrity, but because of what he does. I mean, he's not like a movie star celebrity or a rock and roll celebrity, but he's on TV. Not in our country, and I'm not going to share his name because I'll trust that he's a believer. And the point of this exercise is not to examine the validity of his salvation. It is to hear how it is that we present what we think is the gospel. This is why I think there is so much confusion in Christendom about salvation. It is because, honestly, I think as evangelicals, we have just not. Well, we've made a hash of the gospel. We've made a hash of the gospel. We present it so many different ways, and so often there's a blending between what the gospel is and what the gospel benefits are. And we talk about it, and we hear this language, and we go, yeah, 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 that's the gospel. That's the gospel. No, it's not the gospel if it doesn't include God's character and his nature. Our character and nature, what God should do with rebels like us, what he did for us in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and what we must do in response to that good news. That's the gospel. And we've got to, we just have to do better at clarifying that. So I get it. This was an article. This is Christian Post. This was their gleaning. But this doesn't serve as a critique of this guy's salvation. It serves as an example of how we present what it looks like when somebody gets saved. What does it look like? How would you explain it to somebody? When an individual becomes a Christian, this article seeks to do that. And I think what you're going to hear is, well, interesting, really cool, but it doesn't include the gospel. It doesn't include the actual gospel. So this fellow, he considered himself an agnostic for years, didn't grow up in a Christian home. His daughter had some struggles. She dealt with depression, anxiety issues, and apparently some other health issues. And she became a Christian. And he noticed her laughter returned. Her joy was back. And he thought he'd never hear his daughter laugh again. And so he was intrigued by this Christianity thing. So he sat down to sort it and figure it out. And he found himself just getting totally immersed in it to study Jesus of Nazareth. Did he really live? And he concluded rightly, hey, if this guy rose from the dead, that's it. It's a done deal. That is true, isn't it? If Jesus rose from the dead, then that's a done deal. Now, let me share from the article. And the point of this exercise is to hear a lack of clarity in the gospel. I'm not saying this guy didn't articulate it, but this article doesn't reveal it. And that's revealing. He wrote, after she accepted Christ, this is from the article. After she accepted Christ, the father said he noticed a joy burning brightly in her eyes that hadn't been there before. And her physical health improved. Quote from the dad. And for the 15 months that I was watching her, I now know I was leaning toward Jesus myself. I think he was knocking. Things were happening. Okay. The knocking comment aside. Okay. I don't doubt it. Did you hear the gospel in there? Did you hear it? Now you can understand what's going on. But if I were just reading this article to understand Christianity, would I know? For months, the dad studied arguments for the existence of God, dealt with evolutionary theory, historical claims, etc. And even after he accepted the intellectual arguments for Christianity and acknowledged the resurrection of Jesus as a historical fact, he sensed something was still missing. Okay, so far something was missing. Now, what was missing? What was missing? Well, again, I don't know about this fellow, but this is what the article reported. What's missing is conviction of sin. What's missing is an understanding of the wrath of God. What's missing is anything mentioning that Jesus died for sinners. What's missing is how we must respond in repentance and faith. And what is also missing are all of the fruits of the gospel, a relationship with God, knowing God, having a sense of it is well with my soul. All of those things are missing. Let's continue. As he started experiencing intense emotions and sometimes feeling waves of joy or anguish that he couldn't explain, he realized he was gradually becoming a Christian. Well, technically, you don't gradually become a Christian. You either are or you aren't. But let's not pick too much. Despite his doubts, the fellow found that he couldn't erase Jesus from his mind. A turning point came. Here it comes. Here it comes. This is the turning point. It's like we're going to hear the gospel now. This is the turning point, right? The being born again, dead to self, right? He watched a video of a Christian apologist, John Lennox. Always interesting to listen to, by the way. Discussing a formerly depressed student whose life was changed by Christ. The story about Lennox's student reminded him of his daughter and the way Christianity had impacted her life. And it hit me like a steam train, he said, because I realized even though I had amassed all of this evidence, the real evidence that Christianity is true is the transformation in the soul of a person. I would say that's a demonstration of Christianity. And I think that it can be a somewhat potent argument because of the sheer volume of people. The testimony of millions, dare I say billions of people, is not nothing. It's not the ultimate proof of the existence of God, but nevertheless, and that Christianity is right. It does demonstrate at the very least, there's something there that causes so many people to believe it. He realized the answer had been staring him in the face for months, years even, but he had just overlooked it. Quote, it was at that moment that I realized It was Jesus Christ who had literally saved my daughter's life. I just fell to my knees and realized at that moment, it was him. It was Jesus. Now, it was Jesus that rescued her. No problem with that. And maybe, just maybe, the person who wrote this article left out a lot of details, which is why it's not about this guy. This is about the presentation of what it looks like for somebody to get saved. In other words, this was a presentation about what the gospel is and what it does for somebody and why they believe it. And there was no gospel. There was zero gospel there. It mentioned the resurrection, but there was no context to it. And this is why I think we have so many people who go to churches who are lacking assurance. I didn't say they're not saved. Didn't say that. But because we, I believe, systemically, yep, I'm going to use that word, systemically have failed to articulate the gospel rightly now for decades, I think the fruit has become evident. And that is the fruit of both false conversion and lack of assurance. We've got to get the basics right. We've got to get the fundamentals straight. And I think there's two benefits. When we do, number one, you will evangelize much more easily and naturally because you're going to stay on point and on subject. And second, we won't be creating as many false converts and wobbly need Christians. This is Wretched Radio.
You know those really big questions you get when your kid comes home from college? You know the ones about whether God exists, if the Bible can be trusted, why there's evil in the world, or what's wrong with everyone else's view on sexuality? Yeah, those. Road Trip to Truth doesn't dodge them. This resource is hosted by John Ferbarez, and it goes straight to college campuses and talks to students who are asking these very same questions. But it doesn't just stop there. No, no, then there are the experts that give the real answers, with topics like science and faith, pornography, social media and mental health, critical race theory, marriage, eternity, and that's not even the half of it. If you have teenagers, this is the stuff they need to hear before the world gives them its version. And if you don't have teenagers, you'll still learn something. Road Trip to Truth, all four seasons available right now on Fortis Plus for free. Download it now where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Now, be honest with me for a second. Is your marriage thriving or is it just surviving? Are you and your spouse building something together or are you just really trying to get through another week without another major blow up? And Fortis Institute fellow Pastor Brad Bigney hosts a podcast called Thrive, and that's exactly what it's all about. What it looks like for marriages and families to actually flourish instead of just holding it all together. Brad is a pastor, he's a certified biblical counselor, and as I said, a Fortis Institute fellow, and he brings decades of experience to helping real couples work through the real stuff. And this is the kind of Christ-centered content that we're producing every single day here at Fortis Institute, and it's only made possible because of our gospel partners. And if our ministry has helped you in any type of way, we would love it if you would prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us reach more families with the truth of God's word. You can find out how right now at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus.
Revelation. Special revelation is God's act of making himself known through direct means. In history, God has spoken directly to people like Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and the prophets. 2,000 years ago, he revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Today, he reveals himself in his perfect word, the Bible. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. This is Wretched Radio. Was going to play a sound effect that I found on the YouTube machine, but it was very short. And so after it played for like 5 seconds, it just jumped to the next video. Here's Jimmy. Here's what the next video is called.
Okay.
11 minutes of silence. And I'm listening to it right now. I really like it. 11 minutes of silence. It has 18,000 views. And the comments underneath are pretty amusing. My favorite part was the start. At 9/11, I like how it was silent. 5:22, that part hit different. That's not the sound effect I was looking for, though. This is the one right here.
What is that?
That's me. Stretching. It's a stretching sound. I'm not stretching like to get limber. I'm stretching it as a talk show host because I think it's going to become self-evident that what you're about to hear doesn't really fit, but I'm going to stretch it to make it work. The subject du jour, which is also the subject of the day, was going to be marriage and parenting. And I saw an opportunity to squeeze this story in. This is from Not the Bee. Watch this pastor skewer himself with a cake dowel during his sermon illustration. And you say, well, what does that have anything? I mean, you're stretching it. What, it doesn't have anything to do? Well, it was actually a sermon illustration about marriage, building a marriage. See? So the story fits because that's our theme here. But the only point of interest is that the dude took a wedding cake. So this is a sermon. He and his wife are preaching. And he slapped whatever his point was going to be. They had a wedding cake. So they probably, how much is a wedding cake? I'll bet they're expensive. Aren't weddings like, the average wedding is now like $30,000+. So he takes the wedding cake, turns it upside down to smash it onto a table. But he didn't realize that there was a thing, a skewer inside of it to hold the thing up. It went through his hand, poking out the other side 5 inches. And that is why we need to stick with preaching the Bible. We don't need props. We don't need gimmicks. We don't need these visual illustrations. Preach the word. If you can't preach on building a marriage from the Bible and you need a prop to make a point, you're just in the wrong business. I'm sorry. I mean, okay. All right. Talk about a stretch. Jimmy, here it is. I'm a singer is what I am. So I believe that I'm a professional singer. Would you like to hear some?
Please, no.
Could you just play along?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to, Todd. Wait a minute.
Yeah, what?
You're not singing.
I'm a professional singer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm tapping a Sharpie onto the back of my cell phone. That's what a pastor who doesn't preach from the Bible is, a pretender. If you don't preach from the Bible, no. If you don't preach exclusively from the Bible, you simply aren't, you're not what you claim to be. Preachers preach the word in season and out of season. And we don't think that we need to bring in gimmicks to embellish it or to make a point. The Bible is so potent that if you can't make it appear as powerful as it is, well, you don't know what you're doing. Or you're simply not trusting that the Bible is indeed a two-edged sword. And really, a cake slamming illustration is somehow better than, I don't know, use 1 Peter 2 talking about wives and husbands. Use that. Use Ephesians chapter 5. Use the Bible, not a gimmick and a, I hope the fellow's hand heals. Received an email. Todd, can you talk about when adult children legitimately may need to separate from parents? That's a very fair question. And we've talked about this in the past. And if you'd like to hear a larger treatment of it, Jimmy, tell everybody what they should search for at the Fortis app to find the shows. We've done many shows on this subject. What do you do? The current trend is that every parent is toxic. They sneeze, they're toxic. Mm-hmm. Well, I dismiss that as a rule, but that doesn't mean that there aren't parents that are really bad. And we've talked about this some more. So what would people look for if they go to Fortis app?
Ghosting. Don't ghost your parents.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Toxic parents.
Toxic, yeah.
Yeah. And we've done a longer treatment, but in brief, I do affirm, yes, there are times when a child needs to ultimately, finally, after a series of conversations, say, Mom and Dad, I've got to make this decision because of your behavior. I don't want to make this decision. And I'm hoping for reconciliation. But after a series of conversations where I've expressed you simply have to stop this particular behavior, and here's why, you've refused to listen to my encouragement, and now I'm left with no other choice. But we have to part company at least for a season. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But did you notice all of the caveats that you've talked to them, and I think you start out in low gear. Hey, Mom and Dad. You told the kids, you know, you kind of made a joke about church. Please don't do that. It doesn't help us. It doesn't help us get them ready on Sunday morning. Thanks a bunch. And they do it again. And Mom and Dad, hey, you know, I'd mentioned jokes about that. It's really important to us. Church is really important. I know y'all don't, but it's important to us. And it just kind of undermines our ability to train up our children in the way that we choose to. So please, no more church jokes. And they make another one. Hey, Mom and Dad, we got to sit down. I think you recall this would be the third time that I've asked you not to make church jokes. I don't think that I've expressed the urgency of the situation. Mom and Dad, please stop. Really, please stop. It's that important to us. And I'm asking you to honor us as parents in our choices, how we raise our children. It's really important that you stop. Can I count on you stopping? And they do it again. Mom and Dad, I'm so sorry that it's come to this. I have on four occasions tried to discuss this with you, and now I'm afraid I have to draw a much more severe line than I would like. You will stop with church jokes, or I simply can't let you be around my children. I don't want that, Mom and Dad. You don't want that. Stop the jokes, okay? And then if they do it again, you can meet with them one more time and say, we've gone through this, I've discussed this, talked about this, and now I'm afraid I'm a man of my word and I'm going to have to make good on what I said would be a consequence for undermining us as parents. We're going to keep the kids away from you for a season. When you're prepared to commit to me that you will not be making these jokes, we'll talk about re-engaging. But I'm sorry, it's come to that. Now, I think that can be legitimate. I think that now that doesn't mean that you can use something like, hey, Mom and Dad, the way you part your hair or the way that you talk about this, or it's got to be something that rises to a level of more than a mere annoyance or a preference issue or even some habits that you wish that they would change. With those things, you endure. Okay, so you've got a mom who just talks too much. Okay, she talks too much. That's just not a reason to ghost them. That's not a reason, even if you have six conversations with her. It's just not a valid reason. You can talk to her about it, but that's you don't get to go to that extreme. It has to be something that is a physical, spiritual, a genuine threat to you or to your family. So, yeah, you can. It does happen. But in today's culture, it is the exception. The rule is, you're out of here, Mom and Dad. I don't like the way that you wear too much cologne, Dad, and it bugs me. And we're trying to teach the kids that you should only shower once every 3 days. Okay, well, that's, first of all, that's a bad way to live. Second of all, that just isn't cause. Jimmy, parents need to be aware. Are you familiar with the 764 network?
Never heard of it.
Me neither. And I honestly don't understand it, but that it wasn't from a lack of trying. I just go into like this fuzz when it comes to technology. There's an online network known as 764. It's not just the dark web. It's on the internet. Everyday spaces that your kids are using. Private messages, gaming chats, disappearing content, group threads. The FBI warning networks like 764 are bad. And you need to be aware they're online platforms reaching kids. And they are anything but harmless. It's child exploitation. They get the kids. They find vulnerable kids. They get them to do things and take videos and pictures of it, send it. And then what do? They bribe them and they blackmail these kids. Not limited to sexual exploitation. They've been coerced into acts of self-harm, violence, cruelty as a demonstration of obedience. The goal is domination, breaking a child's will and isolating them from adults just so that they can't be protected by them. Watch out. I don't know exactly how this works. You're definitely more tax savvy than I am. But remember these three numbers, 764 network. Get your kids away from it. And by the way, if they try to do something nasty with your kid, report it to the authorities. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.